Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy. This episode is on understanding knee pain, what causes it, and how to eliminate it. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jennifer Penrose.
Knee pain is a very common problem. It's probably the number two thing we see at our clinic, with number one being low back pain. It's something that most of us as individuals encounter at one point or another in our life. So I think it's worthwhile to kind of go through understanding the knee pain and causes and what to do about it. So let's talk about the structures involved, okay? So with the knee, you basically have four bones, all right? You have the thigh bone is your femur, and then that shin bone is the tibia, and then that outer bone, it's kind of a long, skinny bone. There's a little bump on the outside, and then it's called your fibula, and then it runs down to your ankle. So that other outer bony spot on your ankle is part of your fibula. And then you have your kneecap, otherwise called your patella. And that can create, there's a lot of people that get pain around the front of their knee and behind their kneecap. That's very common. So those are the bones involved. And then you have muscles, a lot of muscles that cross the knee joint. You have your quadriceps muscles. That front of your thigh should be a fairly big muscle. You want that well developed to absorb shock when you walk, when you do stairs, when you do more impact. And if you've been doing a lot of sitting, you know, during COVID, that's probably what I've seen is too much sitting. Those muscles get weaker and they get tighter. So they can create pain along that kneecap, especially when it gets weak. It doesn't have the ability to absorb shock when you go up and down stairs, when you go walking or running. So pretty important muscle group, the quadriceps. And then when it gets tight from sitting too much, it puts more compression force across the kneecap. So sitting also makes you tight. So it can be both. It can be weak and it can be tight. And then you have on the backside of your leg, your hamstrings that attach behind your knee on the backside. And then you have your calf as well that crosses your knee joint on the backside of your knee. And then you have muscles along the inside of your thigh, and I won't get into all of those, but your adductor group is what we call them. And then you have your IT band on the outside of your thigh and leg and crosses the knee joint. That area functions more like a ligament. It's very dense, tight tissue. Usually if you poke along that outer part of your thigh, it can be tender. And then you have ligaments. I'm sure people have heard of the ACL and PCL when professional athletes or even, you know, obviously even our regular athletes tear those. And then the medial collateral ligament on the inside and your lateral collateral ligament on the outside of your knee. So those are the four main ligaments of the knee that give your knee stability. Then you have your meniscus. You have two of them, one on the inside of your knee, one on the, you know, outer component of the knee. So they're inside the knee joint. And they are like squishy cushions, if you will, shock absorbers. So if someone tears one and has to have part of it removed, you're removing some shock absorption in your knee joint. So that definitely is a factor afterwards of how well you tolerate impact after. And really critical to build the muscle strength up because your muscles now become your main shock absorbers. So those are all the structures involved. The knee is also important to recognize that it's kind of in the middle of the lower leg chain, if you will, if you think of it as a whole chain. You have your foot and ankle down below, you have your hip up above and your low back. And those structures really affect the knee. So it's important to understand when you look at someone with knee pain, you really need to look at that whole leg, including the hip and the foot. The alignment of the lower leg. So let's talk about that and how the foot and ankle affect the knee. So for example, if you're home listening and you're standing, go ahead and stand and take your shoes off and just see kind of what your foot does. Does your arch really fall down flat to the ground? Because if it does, it's going to pull your knee more inward. So it kind of gives a rotational force inward to that knee. If you have a really high arched foot that stays really high, even when you're standing, your weight will tend to be more on the outer border of your foot and kind of pull on your knee in that manner. So your foot type matters of what happens at the knee. And you can influence that by the type of shoe that you wear, an insert if needed, that can help bring your foot in a better alignment, which then keeps your knee better supported and helps with shock absorption when you're walking and doing more impact. So that's important to really see how the foot affects the knee. And then with the hips, a lot of times hips are weak. We sit a lot in this culture, and a lot of sitting means that we get weaker in our hips. And if we have weak hips, it does affect the support to the knee. For example, you can try this. If you get up from a chair, so you're sitting and you stand up and go sit back down again, and you can do a couple repetitions. If your knees come together, if they kind of go inward on that movement from sit to stand or stand to sit, your hips are weak. It's not giving your knee enough support. And so then when you do stairs or you squat down to the floor or, you know, doing daily life or even more impact, that's going to take a toll on the knee. So you can increase, you know, if I have athletes, I'll even see if like, can they do a single leg squat and control their knee that it doesn't wobble back and forth or go inward? Can they do a single leg hop and not have their knee dive inward? Do they have stability of that knee with higher level activity? So lots of ways to check if that hip is strong enough to support that knee. Okay. Very important factor. And the core gets involved as well. Like if you have, and I think most people have heard that by now, core strength does affect things down below in terms of hip pain, knee stability, your walking. So very important to kind of look at that, the person as a whole. And I just think physical therapy in general, we really, that is what we're trained to do. That is what, at least at my clinic, we really do. In fact, it's really common to have, for example, right knee pain and left hip pain. So on the opposite side. And this is kind of one of those chicken or the egg things. Like you maybe have started with the right knee hurting. So you offload that side and you put more weight on the left side. So now the hip starts hurting more, but it's because it's compensating for the right knee. So really, we need to treat both when you come in because they're playing off of each other. Or it could be that someone started with a little bit of hip bursitis on one side, inflammation around that hip, and then they started walking differently and putting more weight on the other knee. And so now the knee started hurting. It, like I said, it kind of depends on how things started, but they often play off of each other. Another thing to really look at for other factors causing knee pain is how you're walking and how you're running, if you're a runner, if you're doing more higher level things. But what we look at when we look at walking, and we videotape it oftentimes in slow, to play it back in slow motion to really catch some other nuances with the walking. If you overstride, so have a really long stride and strike way out in front of you with your foot, that can put more stress on the knee. So a lot of times we'll have people shorten their stride, but we'll have them turn their feet over faster. So your cadence will go up in terms of your foot strikes per minute on the ground, but you're not striding out as far. So there's less ground reaction forces going to your knee. So less knee pain. So sometimes overstriding is the culprit, especially people who like to speed walk. You know, they really got in a habit of overstriding. So you can still speed walk. You just don't stride out. You pick your foot up quicker, you know, more strikes per minute with your foot striking. And then the other thing we often see is scissoring. I'll call it scissoring because it's not quite that extreme. But when you're walking or running, instead of keeping your foot right underneath your knee, right underneath your hip in its quote lane, so to speak, the person will kind of drift over. So their foot will kind of almost land in the middle, and then the next foot strike will land in the middle, almost like they're running on a painted line instead of staying in its lane, so to speak. So like on a track, for instance, if they were going to run, where the line just stays in the middle between their feet and they never touch it, then the right and left foot kind of stay in its quote own lane. So, you know, you don't want to run like you're bow-legged, like don't over-exaggerate, but oftentimes with runners and with walkers, we'll see where they're kind of crossing over too far. And when you cross over, it puts uneven stress through the leg and can create, you know, whether it's Achilles tendonitis problems or shin splints or knee pain, IT band problems. So it can manifest as multiple different reasons. But we look at your walking to see, is that a contributing factor to your knee pain? So you have to look at foot alignment, foot type, hip weakness, and your gait and your walking to see what other factors, mechanical factors, are potentially also contributing to your knee pain. So it's just, I guess what I'm trying to paint the picture of is knee pain is not not just super simple, oh, you just have arthritis in your knee and here's a few stretches and exercises and, you know, don't run anymore. It's definitely more involved than that. And I hope that gives you a picture of that. We are going to take a little break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back to talking more about knee pain, common diagnoses, and then what are some mistakes that people make in treating knee pain, and then what you can do about it. So we'll be back.
As a listener to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, we're offering you a free 15 to 20 minute pain screening, either by phone, virtual call, or in person, to see if physical therapy is the right starting point for you. To sign up, contact us at info@penrosept.com or call us directly at 360-456-1444. That's 360-456-1444. And now, back to this episode.
So we are back to talk about some of the most common knee problems, a little more detail here. Probably one of the number one things I see is patellofemoral syndrome. So what is that? The patella is that kneecap, right? And when it doesn't track in its groove, there's like kind of a groove in the femur that it's supposed to stay in. It's supposed to track straight up and down. You can kind of think of like a piece of machine. When something is kind of off, it's going to rub and create friction. And when the kneecap does that, when it's not tracking correctly and it does create, you know, friction, it leads to inflammation and pain. Often the person just grabs the front of their knee, like they're just the front of the knee hurts or behind the kneecap. And things that cause that, so abnormal tracking is one, and then muscle imbalances where the quad muscle on the front of your thigh, if the inside of it is weaker, there's not enough strength there, there's not enough bulk there on the inner part. And then on the outer part, that IT band often is too tight. The outer side of the knee is just too tight. So it's going to pull that kneecap out to the side a little bit and take it, you know, have that tracking be off. If your hips are weak, that's another cause, can lead to poor tracking of the kneecap. And just alignment. And we kind of alluded to that earlier with the hip and the knee angles. So if you're a little knock-kneed where your knees kind of come together, or if they're more bow-legged, you can just have more issues along that kneecap area when your alignment isn't great. And then foot structure. We kind of alluded to that a little bit, you know, with either flat feet. Mostly patellofemoral syndrome happens with more of a flatter foot than a high arched foot. Other common knee pain diagnoses, so the ligament sprains, if you sprain a ligament on that inside of your knee or outside, those can create tenderness along that ligament, and there's usually swelling in the knee. And then just learning how to strengthen the muscles around those areas that cross the knee that we talked about will help support that ligament. And oftentimes we start with a brace to help give you some support and some pain relief, and then as things heal and the swelling goes down and you get stronger, we can slowly wean away from that brace. And then there's good old osteoarthritis. Arthritis is the wearing down of the cartilage and bone on bone. And that really needs a look at the joint in terms of flexibility And then all the tissues crossing the knee, if all those are tight, it's putting more stress on the knee joint. So we often will work on the knee with our hands. There's specific mobilizations that we do, some massage techniques that we do that help increase movement to the joint, and then the joint feels better. And then you can work towards strengthening to improve the shock absorption ability of your knee so the joint isn't as irritated. And that really, you need someone to walk you through that, because a lot of times the exercises people will tell me, well, I've tried this and I've tried that and made my knee worse. And I look at it, I'm like, well, yes, of course lunges are going to make your knee worse right now. Like, it was not the right exercise for the stage that you're in for pain and swelling. So getting someone to guide you through which ones to do and when to do them is pretty important. And then the meniscus, if you have a meniscus tear, there's sometimes where they will do surgery to try to repair it if they can, or they will snip off the piece that's torn that can't be repaired. So they try to avoid meniscus surgery in those that are 55 and up, depending on where the location of the tear is. They just often find that if they do go in and do the meniscus surgery, if they remove that little piece, it's like a cushion, like I talked about, it's a shock absorber. So you remove that on people, and now they accelerate their road to arthritis and a knee replacement. So those haven't always been super successful. And so it's not done as common, depending on the specific tear and what they can do and your age. But a lot of the meniscus people, if they're small tears and can kind of heal a little bit, just strengthening the muscles and rehabbing, they can avoid surgery. So that one just really depends. There's a lot of factors there. Now let's get into a little more of what are the main mistakes that people make with the knee. And I think one at the top of the list, but I mean, we've all done this. We kind of ignore it until it's bad enough, right? Like, we're going to keep living our life. We're busy. You know, there's work, there's kids, there's other obligations. It just is one of those, you'll ice it. You'll stop doing the offending activity per se. You'll take maybe an anti-inflammatory. So you'll kind of do those things. And then you think, okay, I gave it a month off. I'm going to start up again with whatever activity it is, whether it's an exercise class or, you know, your walking routine, running routine, et cetera. And it comes back and you're kind of like, oh, the rest and that didn't work. Well, that's because you didn't really get to the root cause of the problem and didn't rehab it correctly. You just avoided things, and things probably got weaker and things probably got tighter, which creates more pain when you start doing things at a higher level of function. So try not to ignore it. If it's been a couple weeks, you know, if it's been 2 to 4 weeks and it's ongoing, it's probably time to get some help so it doesn't develop into another problem. Because remember, we talked earlier in the podcast where I said many times people will start with like a right knee pain, and then now they also have left hip pain, right? So don't let it, you're going to change how you walk, which then loads the other side differently. And so your hip or your back or something else can start to hurt. So try to get it taken care of sooner rather than later. And then the first step, you know, in terms of getting over this and eliminating it, you really need clarity on the cause of your knee pain and what is all involved. So for instance, oftentimes people will go to their doctor and they'll find out, they'll get an x-ray, let's say, and find out they have some mild arthritis. So they've at least found that as what's going on in the structure of their knee. However, that is just a starting point. They don't know which muscles are tight on them around the knee. They don't know which muscles are weak. They don't know if there's the IT band is contributing to part of their pain, and the joint just needs some stretching with some hands-on techniques. And then their alignment, how is their hip affecting their knee? How is their foot structure affecting their knee? So it's comprehensive and should be, so that you can truly fix it for good and not just get an injection in the knee and not just take ibuprofen. So it's a good starting point to see a physician and get, you know, getting an x-ray does give us some information about the joint health. However, you really do need kind of if it's, you know, something you really want to fix for good, you need all that other input from a physical therapist looking at your complete posture and structure to fix it. So clarity on the causes and what tissues are all involved and your alignment and structure and what you can do about it. And then phase one, when you're in physical therapy, there's kind of what I call a three-phased approach that we use. And phase one is pain reduction. I can't expect my patients to be able to go up and down the stairs and to increase strength in their leg if I don't reduce their pain first. And there's ways to do this. This may be including some taping. Maybe it's some hands-on techniques for stretching and mobilization and massage. And then maybe there's some really gentle exercises we start on where you're not putting weight through the joint. Like they're exercises that you're laying down doing. So there's no weight bearing through the joint to make it irritated, and trying to activate some muscles, maybe in your hips if that's needed, and your leg, and some stretching to kind of normalize things and bring that pain level down and that swelling down. And then maybe we're telling you to ice a couple times a day. So there's the pain reduction phase is really important, phase one. And if you skip that and you progress too quickly into phase two, which is restoring the strength and flexibility on a little more aggressive level, you may just irritate the knee more. So I've definitely had patients who've come and said, well, I've tried physical therapy before and it didn't work. And it's like, well, let's talk about what was done and in what order. And sometimes patients expect that, well, I went three times and it made me worse. Okay, well, let's talk about like expectations too. I mean, this is going to take several visits. So I think sometimes understanding the process of what we go through with patients, it is very common to have 10 or 12 visits to resolve knee pain because of the different phases we need to go through and not push through phase one too quickly. And then phase two, the strength and flexibility exercises get progressively harder provided your knee pain is resolving. And then when you move into phase three, it's just advancement of more functional activities of what you like to do. So maybe you're trying to get back to hiking or kayaking or running or pickleball or whatever it is. Now we should be moving into those movement patterns, and that you have enough strength in that whole leg and enough flexibility in that whole leg to do those things. So I kind of outline those phases because I want you to realize it's a process, and it's not as simple as just handing you a sheet of exercises and wishing you well. That's not how I see success happening with most things that come to our clinic. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea. It's always good to highlight a patient story or two to really help you kind of see how this process works. So we had an individual, and this is a pretty common story for patellofemoral pain. So pain in the front of the knee, the kneecap area. And she had been trying to foam roll her IT band because she thought that's what it was, in terms of her pain and that she was tight there, but it wasn't really resolving, it wasn't really lasting. So when we did our evaluation of her, we found that she had very tight muscles on the front of her leg, her hip flexor and her quad on the front. She was very weak on the backside of her leg, so her hamstrings were weak, the glutes, those butt muscles on the backside, and then also on the side of her hip were weak. You know, when you do like a single leg squat or getting up from a chair, then her knees would dive inward. So we knew that that hip wasn't strong enough. And then we looked at foot structure and we could see that her foot was a little more flatter. And so with her arch kind of falling or collapsing, it kind of pulls the knee inward as well. So that was putting more stress around the kneecap. So we had a couple structural things to deal with. So getting the right insert and then the right shoe combination made a pretty big difference for her right away. And then working on the flexibility of those tight muscles. So it was more of her quadriceps and hip flexor. And then also working on the strength of the backside of her leg and hips made a big difference. The other thing, when we watched her walk, you could definitely see with her gait that she would overstride. So we had to kind of coach her through how to eliminate that. And then same with kind of crossing over a little bit. And I talked about that earlier in the podcast. So all those things combined over time fixed her patellofemoral problem, but it did take, you know, a little bit of time to go through the different phases. It wasn't like we could just fix it in two visits. So hopefully that paints a little bit of picture of just kind of the process and what all we look at when we're looking at knee pain, lots of different things that can affect that knee. Another story that I'm going to highlight is from a nurse who, you know, those of us in the medical profession, we often think we know enough and we think we can fix it. And she had been working with a personal trainer, trying to stay fit to keep up with her grandkids. And she kept having this pain on the back of her knee. And she could swear that it was arthritis. Like she's like, oh, I'm sure it's arthritis. Finally got an x-ray. Guess what? She had no arthritis. And then came to see us. And it ended up being a hamstring strain, just a chronic hamstring strain. And what I discovered is she'd been doing a workout with her trainer, but there was a particular exercise where she always felt pain in her hamstring. And she just kind of thought, well, I just would gut it out. I would just do it anyway. And we're often that way. I mean, I can appreciate that. So once we eliminated that exercise, and then her hamstring was just too weak to do that level of an exercise. So we needed to modify and build up her strength. And then eventually that exercise was going to be fine for her. But we had to work on the back of the hamstring to get it to relax and release some scar tissue and make it feel better. So kind of that pain reduction phase first, give her some gentle stretching, some gentle exercises, no resistance, and then slowly got it stronger and slowly got her knee moving better. So I think we saw her maybe like 6 times and it resolved, and she had a good understanding of how to proceed and how to prevent it happening again. And just to be more aware when she was doing her workouts with her trainer that it shouldn't create that kind of pain. So anyway, it's just one of those interesting stories where people in healthcare, we often think we know, and it's just, you know, sometimes we want to try to do our best at something and push through pain, and it just doesn't work. So how to reach out to us if you want more help. On my website, I do have a free knee pain report if you want to download that. We do offer like a free consult if you just don't even know if physical therapy is the right starting point. So that's really for someone who's just not sure if this is the right starting point, whether it's a phone conversation or whether it's a 15-minute in-person conversation talking about your concerns and looking at your knee and just what your goals are and if it would be the right place to start. And then obviously as well, coming to physical therapy, if you kind of can tell from this podcast, if things resonate with you that like, oh yeah, I really do need to get that full comprehensive look at my knee, my hip, my foot, my walking, my strength, my tightness, and all of that, then you can go ahead and just start with the physical therapy piece of it. So hopefully there's just some good tips in here for you to consider for knee pain. And please reach out to us if you'd like some help so that you can keep enjoying the South Sound and all that it has to offer. And I hope we are all getting more mobile now that it is spring and COVID restrictions are somewhat improving, and you certainly get outside more right now and enjoy the beautiful outdoors. So thank you so much and see you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.